Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 247. Tonight's show is brought to you by Eating Cats. And no, it's not what you think. And it's not that either.
I'll talk about it when I talk.
Yep. So, Moto Trials happened, the national. It was pretty wild. Mike Franco, the head overlord of Salida Enduro and Vapor Trail, was kind enough to loan us all of his water station supplies, and I ran that, and I did a bunch of other stuff, and doing some quick, like, napkin math, actually just, like, air math with a buddy, I'm pretty sure that inside of Turkey Rock, I rode over 60 miles in 2 days, which Turkey Rock is 50 acres. For special events, we get an additional 50 acres. So inside of 100 acres, I rode 60 miles going nowhere. It was pretty wild.
Going everywhere inside that 100 acres.
Going nowhere and everywhere. Saturday, we took points out of the pros. Sunday, Jorge Casales rode 3 clean loops. We set the dumbest, wildest.
They set shit that was so hard that the first day the pros complained.
Yeah, but they can do that. It was also ultra hot on Saturday. Sunday wasn't nearly as bad. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Met a lot of really cool people, saw some really cool stuff, got some mildly not nice feedback, got some really, like, overwhelming majority of great feedback, and had an amazing weekend. So that is what I did.
And you slept all day one day.
Yeah, so I've really been, I'm not even going to say burning the candle at both ends. I more set my candle down on top of a Mr. Buddy heater, and I can feel it. When I get really tired, not tired, tired isn't the right way to put it. When I get very fatigued.
Exhausted.
Yeah, like truly exhausted. I do this thing where my body just like hard reboots, and it does that by sleeping a bunch.
And it's funny because I've known Matt for a pretty long time, and I've seen it happen. It's usually at Silamo. Mm-hmm. Go over there for like a kind
four
of a long
five
weekend
day,
of three long
to
weekend
five
of
days.
Riding.
Yeah.
And you know, we'll go out one day and like kinda like be out most of the day and get back, eat some dinner.
And then at this time I would get in a recliner.
Yeah, like there's a recliner.
And there would be a Jack Russell on both sides of you, and it's just like, well, moving would be rude to the dogs, and then it's the next day.
Yeah. And he'll just sleep like the entire next day, just on and off, just dogs and recliner and sleep.
Yeah. So Monday, I tried, like after the event, I went out and cleaned up a little bit of stuff. And then I was supposed to go over and hang out with the pros and the kiddies, and while they worked on Thomas's bike, and I sat down in my Jeep and I was like, golly, I'm so sweaty already. Oh my God, how am I so sweaty already? And then I was like, oh, I'm sitting on the bite valve of my hydration bladder. And I was like, fuck this. My ass is soaked. I'm going to just go home. And I just went home and took a nap. And then I didn't get up the next, like, I just napped that afternoon. And then the next day I didn't get up until like 10. And I really just got up and ate and then just napped more. And then I woke up and it was Monday. Oh my God, I was so angry. I sat down on the couch and I was like, God, I'm so tired. I'm just going to take a nap. And when I wake up, I'm going to call the restaurant in Howard and I'm going to be like, look, I either want this burger or a loaded baked potato with brisket. I'm too tired to decide. I'll be down there in 20 minutes. Just have one of those ready. Flip a coin. And I went to look up their phone number and they're fucking closed. They're closed on Monday and Tuesday. And I didn't have a frozen pizza, and I was so pissed off. So I just opened the fridge, and I just ate everything that I could find. Like, Andrea had brought home this big container of macaroni salad, and I just ate the entire thing.
I wondered what happened to that. I thought you'd fed it to the chickens.
One sitting. I sat down and ate, like, a quart of macaroni salad in one sitting. And, yeah. Anyways. But I had a great time, and that's what I did. If I could ever find a sandblasting cabinet, I would repaint my Esker Hayduke, but I can't. If you're out there and you own an Esker and you're thinking about using citrus strip to remove the paint, don't. It will eat the ED coating on the steel. I was told on good authority that that would not happen, and it happened in... So Citrus Strip, they say leave it on for 24 hours. I did the first coat for, like, I don't know, 6 hours, and nothing happened. So then I put some more on. Like, I wiped all that off and put more on and left it on for, like, 16 or 18 hours, and it ate the coating. And the coating didn't fall off. It just kind of, like, gelled up. So now I have to find a sandblaster and sandblast all of it off to get to true metal. Because if it's falling off, kind of, like, or if it's, like, gelling up and not really adhered anymore, then paint won't stick to it, and I want the paint job to look halfway decent for somewhat amount of time. So that's my week. Kenny, go.
It's been really hot here. I don't know about over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I think last weekend, maybe on Sunday, we set a record for Salt Lake City, and I'm unclear if it's a record all out, like the hottest it's ever been recorded in Salt Lake City, or just for that day. I'm unclear because I feel like it was 109.
Oh my God.
But I feel like it's been 110-ish before at some point. So maybe it's just that day, like that one day in July. Don't know. Regardless, it was hot.
All time.
There you go. That doesn't sound right, but whatever.
It beat the previous by 2 degrees from 1960.
Yeah. So it was a hot one. I got up relatively early. I was going to ride moto on Sunday. Saturday, I don't know what I did. Something around the house. And Sunday, I was going to ride moto and try to go to a new spot and also try to go up really high to maybe, you know, get 10 degrees cooler or so. Found us.
What's really high where you are?
8 to 10,000.
Okay.
So kind of alpine stuff. Like, think
that's like mid-range
top
for
of
us.
Sure. Like top of Park City.
It's high for them.
Yeah, well, I know.
Do you know what tree line is in Alaska? Like 1,800 feet.
Okay.
I'm just saying, high is all relative.
It is.
We used to always make fun of the World Cup podcasts, the when Red Bull TV was doing them, which was great, by the way. I loved it. I watched the most of that. It was just such a good broadcast, by the way. I think everyone can agree with that. That era of XC and downhill was just such good coverage and good competition and all that stuff, and just free to watch, and it was awesome. Anyway, we used to make fun of it because they would always talk about elevation. Oh, these athletes, they're going to have to get used to it. It's elevation. It's 3,000 feet. I was like, what the fuck? Like, my ass lives higher than that. Like, Jesus Christ, 3,000 feet is not high, especially for, like, these endurance athletes. Give me a fucking break. Anyway, it was just very funny. So it was really hot. Wanted to moto. I didn't get out as early as I wanted to.
Let me interrupt because you're just talking about high. Like, the highest point in the tour this year is 9,200 feet.
That's pretty high. I actually didn't realize it was that high, to be honest. I thought it was kind of medium.
But like, it's not really that high, if that makes sense.
I think for most athletes, somewhere approaching 10,000 feet, you really start to notice that. So,
oh yeah, you will.
So, you know, in my book, kind of that 5,000 to 10,000 ballpark, if you want to talk about it, it's higher than normal. Awesome. 0 to 5,000 feet, like, fuck off. That means nothing. Anyway, it was hot. Wanted to go up high. Wanted to go to a new spot. Found a spot outside of Park City and near a place called Camas, and did some Google Earth stalking around and found a cool little route. Parked, found a really cool parking spot. I did my little 30-mile route. It was actually pretty cool stuff, fairly rocky, but pretty neat. Had some kind of alpine-y sections, which were cool. There's some really great trail surface, a lot of pine needles and just kind of that higher alpine field. You got a lot of aspens around you, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of that feel at Park City. Not surprisingly enough, this is like one mountain range over from Park City. So it had a lot of those vibes, except I was on a freaking dirt bike and it was single track, which is really cool. What I'm getting at,
it was like Park City, but better.
I'm just saying it's really cool and scenic stuff in Park City, but you have to be on a mountain bike to access it. And this was basically the same exact feel. Cool bench cut trails, but I was allowed to ride my motorcycle on it, which is kind of cool. So I got done with that. It was pretty hot, but it was fine. And I wanted to go check out something across the road to the south. And rode up there, pretty cool stuff. And then a mile in, I see some single track. I'm like, oh, like single track. and I don't see any signs that say like mountain biking or hiking or whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm riding my damn motorcycle down this. And so I'm riding up this thing, and it was pretty steep, pretty techy, lots of creek crossings, a lot of moves, just steep as balls. And I see some enduro guys come back down the other way, which makes me feel better. Like, okay, like this is definitely someone else is motoing this. And it was tight enough that I had to like really scoot my bike across the trail to, you know, you can't fit two motorcycles down this very easily.
Like you had to do the like lean.
I was really working to get out of their way. But anyway, that was fine. And I did a little out and back, and I saw some mountain bikers out there, which was kind of cool. Don't know what the fuck they were doing or how they even got up there. I think there might be access from the top, and they were like screaming and squealing like from their mouths.
And also
like
hollering and having a good time.
Well, no, I think they were terrified because it's just so steep and loose. It's kind of a moto trail because it's a moto trail, and it was just steep as balls. Like I was skidding down the entire thing on a moto. So on a bicycle, it would be terrifying. So that was kind of cool. Got done with that. I had to do an out and back because the trail kind of stopped and I'd never been there before. So I did an out and back. It was a couple miles and I beat up down this road, and I'm always looking at my Garmin and I see what might be a hiking trail. So I'm like, I'm going to go check this thing out. And I look at it and nope, it's a freaking single track moto trail. And apparently it's like a really well used one. I had no idea this loop existed. But it was like a 10 or 20 mile loop, and I didn't know what to expect. And it was really hot at this point, even up there. It was definitely about 100, and I didn't have a whole lot of water left on me. And I also just didn't know what to expect. And I'm on a dirt bike on a arguably enduro trail, and it's mostly downhill. So I'm like, you know, kind of like, how bad could it be? Yeah, it was fucking gnarly. And there was one way in, one way out. And I got like many, many miles down this trail. And I started doing the whole second guessing thing, like, ah, fuck me. Like, if there's another big move, like, this is going to be a problem. And I also can't turn around. Like, some of the stuff I could have maybe made it back up, but it would have been like a lot of work and it was really hot. So, yeah, anyway, it worked out. I saw some other moto guys out there on that particular leg of the trail, but it was really cool. I need to go out there and explore some more because holy crap, there's just a ton of like awesome, awesome riding out there. So, anyway. I thought the day was going to be like kind of a 30-mile semi-short day, but no, it was like 60, and I was absolutely wrecked when I got back to the car, but it was cool. So that was my week.
Sweet.
Andrea?
Well, I have, I went out and watched some of the moto trials just early in the day. Like I mentioned, I haven't been handling the heat very well, and I went out in the morning, and then Matt was like, hey, I forgot to pack my lunch. Could you bring some lunch back for me in a little while? And I did. And then I went to find him and like had to hike up this kind of steep, gnarly shit. And I sat down for a minute. And then I started getting this weird spot in my eye, which I've had before. I get ocular migraines. And I've actually, this has happened since I was, I don't know, sometime in college. So like 20-ish or more years. And I get a weird spot. It's like a weird prism sort of thing that blocks out part of my vision. And it'll go like that for, I don't know, 20 to 30 minutes. And then it'll just suddenly, just very suddenly stop. And then I just feel like shit. So it's not like a full-blown migraine, but it really fucking sucks. And I was just sitting there, you know, waiting for some moto people to come through. And I'm like, Matt, I gotta go. Because, like, I saw this little spot, and I'm like, it's going to get worse. Because it does. It, like, grows, and then I can't see out of, like, one of my eyes
Do you think that's blood flow related? I hear about that from time to time.
Yeah, it's not totally understood, unfortunately. But, yeah, like, blood flow is one of the things. It's really related to, I mean, in my case, it was probably related to the heat. I've gotten one from like a really loud noise before. I've gotten one just sitting around doing nothing. Like the first time I ever had one, I was literally sitting in like a class when I was in college, and all of a sudden I couldn't like see partially out of one of my eyes, and I'm like, I'm having a fucking stroke.
Well, I've heard about, but like maybe not a full-on stroke, but there's a term, and someone I'm sure can chime in from the crowd here, but I thought there was a version of like an eye blood vessel stroke where you'll lose vision in an eye. And it's, I don't want to say common, but semi-common.
Yeah, this is definitely like, it's called ocular migraine, and it resembles the migraine aura that people who get full-blown migraines, which luckily I don't get those so far. I don't even want to say that out loud, but people that get full-blown migraines, like when they're having a migraine, they will get the same thing. This is like just getting that one thing and then kind of feeling shitty the rest of the day and kind of have like a little bit of a headache. Like it's this weird like pressure kind of headache thing that you get, and like Tylenol helps a little bit, but generally just feeling crappy, just wanting to lay down for a while. Like it's not, I know like migraines are way worse, but this is not, you know, this is not really good. It's not like it's nothing. It sucks. But, you know, sitting there, I was like, I got to go. And so I like got to the car, and basically by the time I got home, which is like a 10 or 15 minute drive, I like couldn't see out of my left eye and a little bit out of my right eye. And so I just basically laid on the couch the rest of the day. Next day, I did go out and like I rode my bike around a little bit, took it real, real easy. I kind of wanted to explore this one, like a 4x4 road in an area where I'm going to elk hunt. So I went and did that. Just took it slow. Didn't really like get my heart rate up too much. Just kind of enjoyed being like in the alpine stuff. Just being where it wasn't hot. That's really what it was. Like I basically rode up to like 11,000 feet and just kind of like shuffled around for a few hours just to like be where it wasn't 95 degrees. And it was nice. It was a good easy day. And I've been feeling a little better since then. I've really been like watching the heat. You know, I don't really go outside. Like I don't do much outside after about noon, unless like today it was actually pretty nice. Like it rained a bunch yesterday, and it rained a whole lot. And so today, like it was still cloudy in the morning, so it didn't get quite as hot during the day. I had a little bit more time to like do some stuff outside. Worked on leveling a little part of our yard, like where we do stuff, just in the shade, like where we work on stuff. And it's always been annoying because there's not a level spot. And so I made a level spot just with a rake and a shovel and some like pavers and rocks. But somewhere in there, I went and hung out. So a friend of mine that I met through one of the guys at the gun shop is his girlfriend. She wanted to learn how to hunt, and so I like took her out turkey hunting one day a while back. But she's fucking hilarious. Her name is Hedda. That's Hedda, and she's Filipino and Japanese. And she's fucking hilarious because she's got this like, what? This is relevant to the story.
No, that Weezer song. God damn those half Japanese girls. They do it to me every time.
Well, she jokes about how when she and her boyfriend first started dating, she's like, I'm going to take you to my favorite restaurant, and literally drove to a vet's office and was like, we get the animals here. We get the meat here.
That's pretty fucked
like,
up.
Something like that. I know. Like, she jokes about that. And when we were hanging out the other day, I just met them, like they were having a little like cookout by the river, and we were hanging out, and she kind of has a hard time saying the word brat, like bratwurst. And when she says it, it sounds like rat. And she told her boyfriend, I want a rat. And I'm like, this is America. We don't cook rats here, which was funny. And then, so she's going to teach me how to cook dumplings, because I don't know how to make, you know, like dumplings you get at, I don't know, pretty much any Asian restaurant. I fucking love those. That's like one of my favorite foods is dumplings. And
I love going to the Chinese buffet and getting that dumpling soup or whatever that is. Wonton. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I know wonton's not like a dumpling, but same family.
But like the soft, sometimes they're steamed and they're all soft, and sometimes they're like fried and they have like the crispy bottom. It doesn't matter. Either one, I fucking love those things. She's going to teach me how to make those. And she was joking around, and she's like, we're going to need it. And I'm like, I have a cat in my freezer because from my mountain lion. And I'm like, I got that. And she thought I was joking. I'm like, no, like I got like, I have some mountain lion meat that I have like some trimmings I was going to grind. And mountain lion, like I've talked before, it tastes like pork. I don't know why a mountain lion tastes like a pig, but it's almost, you almost can't tell the difference. Like if I just gave you a slice of mountain lion, like backstrap, and said, this is pork loin, you would eat it and think you just had pork loin. Like you wouldn't be able to tell. And so I was like, yeah, I got that. And so I had like some meat to grind up. And so I like ground it with some pork fat and we're going to put that in dumplings tomorrow. And I'm really fucking excited.
Oh my God, you're going to make dumplings and I'm not even going to be around to eat them.
We're going
to
make a lot. So I'll have some extras. Like I'm going to bring some home, like freeze some. So we have some dumplings in the freezer. But so I'm super excited about that. And what else have I done? I went and camped a couple of nights, like also trying to get away from heat. I camped up kind of up high, like around 11,000 feet for a couple of nights. Did some elk scouting, found some really freaking good spots. I mean, like I went out for, I don't know, a little more than half the day, rode my e-bike on the Monarch Crest Trail some, which is fun. It's a moto legal trail. Rode the e-bike out there. Rode a few miles out to the spot where I wanted to look, hiked a big loop. I say big loop. It was probably like 4 or 5 miles and then rode back, saw a bunch of elk while I was out there, saw a bunch of spots that have had a lot of elk activity in them. So like, it's a really good area. And then I went out kind of late in the day. There was a spot where I wanted to go check out and like just sit around and like glass a little bit and look for elk in one of the creek drainages, and it didn't really work out because I was kind of like, it was drizzling and I was like, I waited around trying to like wait the rain out and it stopped and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go now. And I didn't have phone service, so I couldn't like look at a radar or anything and see what the weather was going to be. And when I got to the spot where I wanted to go, it just started to rain, like just straight up rain. I'm like, well, fuck, I'm not gonna like sit on a rock above tree line when there might be like some thunder and lightning. So I just hiked around for a few minutes and then went back. And on the way back, I'm like, well, shit, I don't have to like preserve any battery life now. So I'm going to put this thing in like full biscuits mode and ride like I'm on a fucking moto. And that was fucking awesome. Like just being able to like pedal kind of hard. You still have to like pedal kind of hard to go that fast, but like being able to pedal kind of hard and like go up these climbs at like, I don't know, 11 to 12,000 feet, which is kind of the elevation of Monarch Crest Trail, is pretty fucking awesome. It's pretty fun. I'm not saying I want to ride a moto because I don't know. I've tried that before and I'm not that great with a motorcycle because they're like big and heavy and I'm not used to like,
I still think you need to ride trials.
I know you do. I don't need another expensive hobby.
We have two bikes now.
I know, but I don't need also one that takes a lot of time. It's not even the cost of it, because I know we have two bikes. It's the fact that I would have to, like, practice in order to be, like, able to do any of it. Like,
You could ride amateur tomorrow.
Great. That's nice, but
I just want it on the record that I've now tried publicly.
Look, and I know, like, that's the thing. Like, I know that I could do pretty well at it. I just don't have the like mental energy to add another learning a skill into my life. Like it's, I don't know, a month and a half away from elk season and I've been shooting my bow like once or twice a week and I need to do it more. What?
Nothing.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Nothing.
What?
You just start shooting every morning.
But yeah, so, yeah, I don't need to get into trial. Because it's another thing is, like, I would get just fucking obsessed with it until I just didn't want to do it anymore is the problem. So, yeah, not going to do it. I'm not going to let myself do it. But, it was fun to ride the e-bike way faster than what I normally do. Because normally I just want to take it out and, like, I would just do kind of a longer, you know, 2 or 3 hour ride, and you can't just put it in like full turbo mode and go do that, or else you just won't have any battery left. So, you know, if you like do a long climb, it's really the long climbs are what really suck the battery life out. So, But yeah, that's been my week. Real excited to make some dumplings tomorrow.
We were talking about food, semi-food related episode, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cats, goldfish.
Yeah. So a couple things. One is for the listeners out there, you can give us your thoughts on American artificial cheese snacks. Is the goldfish better or is the Cheez-It better? That's the question.
I think Cheez-Its are better than goldfish.
All right, Kenny, so I got a couple of questions for you. I got some Cheez-Its pulled up here. We were talking about Cheez-Its before, goldfish before we got going.
So, like, okay, so Cheez-Its, like, their flavors that are outside just the normal Cheez-It aren't really that great. The hot ones are okay.
No, let's not even talk about these, like, exotic ones. I'm not talking about Parmesan cheese,
goldfish, that's what I
want to
talk about, Kenny.
Okay.
There's special edition and limited edition goldfish. So I'm going to run through this list really quick and ask if you've had them, okay?
Well, here's the thing. I typically eat standard goldfish, but you can shoot.
Okay. So some of them are just like...
different shapes.
Branded packaging, right? So there's like Disney, Mickey Mouse, or Star Wars, but like Frank's Red Hot.
No, I don't think I've had it.
Strawberry Shortcake, Graham Cracker.
What the fuck? No.
Old Bay.
I bet the Old Bay ones are good.
No.
Spicy Dill Pickle.
No.
Maple syrup, Graham.
No.
Harry Potter, butterbeer, butterscotch, graham cracker.
Jesus Christ, no. What the fuck?
Snoopy, peppermint, cocoa, graham cracker.
No. I mean, like, I've never... if you need to talk about, like, the off the beaten path ones.
Zesty Ranch.
No.
Come on, you haven't had ranch?
The Goldfish and Dunkin' Donuts collab pumpkin spice graham.
No, I had no idea all these existed.
Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go into something a little less exotic then. What about the Goldfish crisps?
Maybe, but I don't think so.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Kenny, you're just...
what flavors of Goldfish have you had?
The Goldfish flavor,
so
the standard.
Way back in the day, they had pretzel ones, and I didn't like those. Those were fucking weird. Do you remember those? They were actually brown, and they looked like miniature pretzels, but they were Goldfish shaped.
So they were pretzels in
they
the
were
shape
just
of
pretzel.
Gold. Like they're brown like pretzels, and they taste like pretzels.
No,
but
like
Goldfish.
They were made of pretzel material. So, like, whatever pretzel material is.
Yeah, they were goldfish-shaped pretzels.
Yes, that's correct.
And you didn't like
it? No, those are not for me.
What about Dots pretzels?
I mean, I love pretzels. Like, I've eaten... we had a distributor who used to give us all their expired Dots. So, I've probably eaten a couple hundred pounds of those.
Okay.
In every flavor. But back to what I've had. Parmesan. And I think there's a pizza. The pizza goldfish are pretty good. All the flavor-blasted ones are disgusting. Plus, they ruin your fingers.
Ruin like you just get powder.
Yeah, you just got
them,
powder and
like,
shit. Like
they
you,
like burn a hole through.
No, well, it might. I don't know. I've never left them on left that powder on my fingers long enough to know. But it's not a clean snack. Like goldfish are pretty clean.
Oh man, speaking of not a clean snack that ruins your fingers, the Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Those are fantastic, but they will absolutely ruin your fingers.
But they have some that have like lemon on them or limon.
No, I've never had that.
You know. Oh, my God. I had a customer give me some of those. Jesus Christ.
If you touch something after eating a Flaming Hot Cheeto, you're going to have to write that off. Like, you're just going to have to sell it or burn it.
I need a new Rich line now. I ate Flaming Hot Cheetos while driving.
I've literally never had a Flaming Hot Cheeto.
My God. I'm glad you didn't have any of those because that means I got to eat them all.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So, I was doing some math about my goldfish consumption, and it's pretty sobering. So, I go through... typically,
hold on, wait a minute, Kenny.
Yeah.
I want to do a conversion of, I don't want to know how many pounds. I want to know it as a percentage of your own body weight.
Maybe, but we'll get there. I get the Costco ones typically. And before Costco, I just got like they used to have the big carton. It was like one continuous giant carton. The Costco one has multiple bags in it.
Yeah, but the one that looked like the school milk carton,
yes,
but it was like
but
huge.
Gigantic. Yeah, it was like a foot by a foot by a foot.
Like a gallon of gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Anyway, so the Costco ones are 4.5 pounds for the full size thing. And I have at least one a month, if not more. So that's 50 plus pounds per year. And I've been doing that for 40 years. So 40 times 50 is 2,000 pounds. That's one.
You haven't.
That's 100%. And I'm also like, my consumption is probably greater now than when I was a child. But
I mean,
somewhere in the ballpark.
Well, hold on. When did you move to? You moved to Salt Lake in like 18?
Yep, somewhere in that ballpark.
No, 16.
Yeah, 17, maybe. 17.
I mean, conservatively, if you ate one container a month in Salt Lake, you had 540 pounds.
But that's conservative. That's
so you've had 3.6 Kennys worth of.
Wait, how can you calculate how long does it take Kenny to eat his weight in goldfish?
3 years.
Yeah. So, but I've had in the ballpark of 1 ton, 2,000 pounds of goldfish. Pretty crazy. So I would imagine that a significant portion of my DNA is now comprised of goldfish.
So here's the other thing, Kenny. In 30 years, at a conservative, like, measurement, you will eat more goldfish than the payload capacity of your Honda Ridgeline.
Yeah, that's correct. If I put 2,000 pounds of goldfish in the back of the Ridgey, it would break an axle.
No, that's payload. You'd have to, you know, you'd have to put them in like all the floorboards and stuff. I almost got in a lot of trouble doing that once.
With goldfish?
I put 1,200 pounds of weight in my Jeep Cherokee. Mm-hmm. And I went to use the brakes and they just didn't work because I had it all behind the rear axle.
Nice.
And I stopped and immediately moved it all around the vehicle into all the floorboards and stuff. They were these very compact 40-pound lead weight bricks that we had made.
Who is we?
Me and Matt and Brian and I can't remember the other guy's
name. Sounds like some shit your dad would do too.
No, it was counterweight for the trebuchet that we made for high school physics class.
Okay.
But yeah, we definitely figured out that you gotta put that weight evenly, you know, so you can't just plop it all on the bed, Kenny. You gotta put some in the passenger floorboard, some in the rear floorboard. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely deserve some type of goldfish sponsorship.
Probably.
All right. We want to talk about new shit.
Sure.
I'll go first because I got one that I really want to talk about. Light Bicycle has a couple of cool wheels. And
they're not mountain bike wheels.
One of the wheels is a mountain bike wheel. You non-reading, cut me off ass ho.
I just saw that they were showing a triathlon disc wheel.
So they have a sub 800 gram full disc wheel, which is pretty fucking phenomenal. They have a new 180 millimeter deep disc wheel, which is really cool. That wheel can be sub 1200 grams, which is really light for a wheel that deep. And they have 32 inch gravel wheels that are also rated for mountain bike use. So that's pretty cool. I am pretty excited about it. And man, this article is riddled with typos. So Corey Benson at Old Bike Rumor, get with it. So, and then sticking with wheels, just real quickie, Boyd has new hubs. So
I saw that. Super high engagement.
Yep, super. It is i9 Hydra 2.0. And if you thought the i9 Hydra hub didn't break frequently enough, buy some from Wish. And the reason I say that today is I'm not going to say that at my place of employment that's not affiliated with the podcast, that today I went to do a very simple repair, like change the chain and the rear cog on a single speed. And when I removed the rear wheel, the cassette, or the whole free hub just fell off because the axle was broken. I'm not saying that happened. I am saying that it wouldn't be unbelievable if a Hydra axle had just snapped after regular use.
Yep. Saw 20 of them.
Yep. But luckily they retail for $39.75. And you only have to pull one bearing, so you can get your customer rolling pretty quickly if you live in a tourism town and you happen to stock those to save people's days.
And they have the new version that it says it's supposed to be less breaky.
That's cool. Too bad they didn't just stick with the fucking torch.
Yeah, the torch, you know, even though the bearings were still garbage, the torch in general I think was a much more reliable hub.
I do too, because I never hurt anything on any of them ever.
I owned a couple sets of those. They were really good.
I only owned one set because that's all that I needed. I guess I technically had two, but I had one set from like 2012 to 18 when I actually rode bikes and they got a shit ton of miles on them. They were fine.
Yeah. Like,
those hubs outlasted crest rims. Crest rims were impossible to break. They were just fucking, they were so soft. They would see a rock coming and just move out of the way and go back to where they belong.
I don't know if I agree with that statement. I saw plenty of fucked up crests. Arches, however, yeah, were pretty decent back in the day.
No, but like I had Crest MK2s before they all broke nipples or broke eyelets where there wasn't an eyelet, rim nipple holes, whatever. So, yeah.
Maxxis has a new sealant.
Oh, great. Jesus. Why?
Is it called Wide Trail?
It's called Max Seal. isn't it?
It's Max Seal. That's Max with two X's. And
if I knew anyone named Max, I would just hand them a bottle of that.
It uses a synthetic latex formula that coats the inside of the tire casing and can seal punctures up to 7 millimeters while you ride. It will not clump between refills.
Okay.
I think that might be a little bit of a jab to the stand's race sealant.
I mean, maybe. The first thing I'm noticing, and it's going to happen, I guess. You're going to have, there's particles in it. I get it. But in the main photo, it is already completely separated.
Well, yeah. Oh, that looks like that finish line shit.
It does, and it scares the shit out of me.
It turned blue?
No, the finish line stuff that was basically, it was like oil, and it was supposed to never dry out, and it was like oil, and it got everywhere, and it didn't seal any punctures. It was really bad.
And then they revised it to just be like stands.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
I got some of the, I think I had some of the old stuff and some of the new stuff.
Shit.
And it just was like, the old stuff was just like a lump of sludge.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it sealed holes or not, but it was just a lump of sludge just flopping around in your tire. And then the new stuff was just like, okay, this is just sealant. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it was better or worse than anything else. It was like exactly like everything else. I mean, they do say in this, they don't claim any sort of durability. They just say check your sealant level every 3 to 6 months and more frequently in hot climates or during heavy use. So, yeah, like, I don't know, that's pretty standard for sealant, so I'm guessing this is not like the finish line stuff. It's a lump of sludge.
I think the deal is, by nature, sealant is going to dry out. Like, it's designed to, like, coagulate in the presence of air, right? So, I mean, it's just going to happen. You just got to get over it.
You know, you can get something called DriveMax 700. I'm trying to find out how much Max Seal costs, and you can't, but there's a product called Max 700, M-A-X-X, just like Max Seal, but it's Max 700 Sealer. You can get 5 gallons of that for $39. It might be driveway sealer, but I bet it would seal something in your tire, or if not, it would ruin all of your clothes, just like all sealant on the planet.
Yep.
This one is ammonia-free and skin-safe.
Well, but it's synthetic latex, so it might be ammonia-free, but anything with latex in it isn't ammonia-free because ammonia is a byproduct of latex. That's why I ran into another problem that I ran into this week, which is I was replacing a nipple that was broken, and while tightening that nipple, about 8 spokes away, another nipple head just shot out of the rim across the shop, and I was like, that's not a good sign, so I diligently went over. And I replaced that one, and then another one, like 2 spokes away, popped, and I was like, fuck it, this wheel needs to be rebuilt. And I called the customer, so.
I love the comment on this Max Seal article. I can't fathom why tire makers have not provided their own sealant until now.
They have, dumbass.
I noticed that it's time to replace a tire when my stand starts eating through the sidewalls.
No, your stands has...
Bro, your rocks on your trail are eating your sidewalls, and the stands is coming out trying to seal it.
No, stands doesn't eat the sidewalls of tires. When stands falls out of solution, would that be it? Like, when all the latex has accumulated inside of the tire or clumped up, then you only have the liquid carrier that is partly antifreeze, and that can migrate through the tire, and that is what allows the eating of the sidewalls. You also know what causes that when your tires are old as
fuck. Yeah, when they're wore the fuck out. They've done 8 gajillion little vertical cycles, and you have...
They're paper thin. Doc Sarvis, I'm pretty sure he's one of those customers that comes in the bike shop, and you're like, man, you want to replace this rear tire? And he's like, oh, it's still got some life left. Let's put it on the front and run it a little longer.
But also, Continental has made sealant. Schwalbe has made sealant. And this was a long time ago.
Doesn't Vittoria have one?
WTB makes sealant. Vittoria makes sealant. Bontrager makes sealant. Basically every single fucking tire manufacturer in the entire world has made sealant. So that is a really dumb statement.
Except for Maxxis.
Yeah.
Something cool that I learned. Did you know that when air leaks through your tube, I used to think that air was small enough to migrate through the tube. No, it goes into solution with the butyl and comes out the other side. Like, it physically, becomes one with the tube for a small portion of time and then migrates out the other side of the tube. So like I said migrate, but it's like
isn't that called osmosis?
Possibly.
Or does that only have to do with cellular stuff?
I think osmosis is just has to do with water.
But that's why TPU tubes hold air better between fill-ups, because the air doesn't do that as easily in TPU. And that's why nitrogen works better. Not only is the larger molecule better, but it doesn't go into solution with the rubber as easily. And something super nerdy that I learned, you can run argon, like the welding gas, in your tire, and it is physically faster. It is faster to run argon in your tires. You know what the headache of running argon in your tires is? Getting enough shit set up to regulate it down from bottle pressure to not explode your fucking wheel pressure. So, yeah. So people in the tour are running argon in their tires. Not all of them and not every day, but they are.
All right.
I love learning this ultra nerdy shit.
I mean, yeah, it's interesting.
It is. Do we want to talk about
the new Yeti?
I think the most interesting thing, personally, is probably the new Canyon.
I don't know. I feel like the new Yeti is really interesting also.
All right.
Either one. I mean, they're both cool.
I don't have the new Yeti pulled up. We can start there, and then we can move on to the Canyon. What's the Yeti called?
The LT.
It's just the Yeti LT.
All right.
Uses their Sixfinity 6-bar suspension platform, which they introduced on their electric mountain bikes a few years ago. And so this is their first not electric bike that has that suspension design.
Hmm.
But it's 160 millimeters of travel. And yeah, I mean, it's just, they're just evolving their suspension.
I want to tell you the thing that I'm most excited about.
What's the point of the bolt-on rear axle situation?
Kenny, that's the thing I'm most excited about.
Ah. I'm just looking at a picture. I haven't even read any words yet.
So, size-specific chainstays, 439, 442, 455.
Oh, is that how they do it? So they can have the same carbon layup for the front part?
No.
They just put longer dingles on it?
No. No, Kenny. 465 and XL. Or you can bolt on the longer dropout and add 10 to both. I could have an extra large bike with a 475 fucking rear
end.
That's
actually really cool. If it doesn't cause creaking and shit, that's pretty cool.
That bitch can make... Look. If that creaks a little bit, I'll take it apart and clean it every once in a while. If I don't have to clean a switch, I can clean that. I promise I can clean that faster than a Switch Infinity.
Well, I'm really glad it does not have that stupid Switch Infinity. Or is there one hiding in the middle,
no,
the bottom there?
There's no more Switch.
Okay, thank God. You could probably lose an appendage, though, if you got it pinched in that little bar.
Well, you're not supposed to put your dick in there, Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah, well...
You're not my mom. You can't tell me what to do.
they better laser etch a graphic on there showing me not to do that.
Don't put your willy here.
Just a dick with a circle and a line through it.
But no, yeah, that's cool. So, that really is. That's actually pretty neat. I can get on board with that. I haven't liked anything Yeti related in a very, very long time.
I like the color. It looks good.
And I agree. That color is pretty cool.
That old school kind of like turquoise and white color.
Mm-hmm. If I see another just all turquoise Yeti, I don't care. But yeah, that's cool.
Good.
That's good. I like it.
You have the option to run it mullet if you want, and it comes with hardware to maintain the same geometry as 29 front and rear.
I'm really stoked about this.
I like it. Like, hopefully maybe more people will do this on not insanely long travel bikes. That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was kind of my only complaint with the Heihei, is the chainstay's a little short. So for high traction, steep climbing, I felt like it took a good bit of body English to keep the front wheel planted, even with a really long reach, which in theory should have put me a little bit more between the wheels, even though the chainstay's short, pretty steep seat tube angle, blah, 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 blah. It really wanted, like, if I had a situation where there was really steep climbing, but there wasn't a need for wheel movement, the Stump Jumper Evo climbed better.
Jesus Christ, they put a boxer on it.
What?
I don't know. One of the last pictures, there's a fucking boxer on it.
Oh, I didn't. We're somewhere else. I didn't see one with a boxer.
Gotcha. I'm on the pink bike version of it.
Hmm.
No, we're looking at the bike room version.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think I've ranted about this on the show before that I don't think chainstays are long enough for people as tall as me if they're long enough for people as short as Andrea. And I think Yeti is addressing this.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Obviously, it's not my... They're not addressing it because I said something, but it's being addressed.
Well, I think we all see this stuff. We're not all dumb. We've ridden enough stuff. We know where the market's going. Like, we know the market's going to go with shorter cranks and lower bottom brackets. Like, all that stuff's happening. We see it. And yeah, I think you're right on the money with the chainstay thing.
Kenny just said I'm right. Oh my God.
Oh, is that all you
need
to hear?
I need a minute. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Dad said he's proud of me. God, Andrea's stuck in her hoodie right now. Andrea she has her headphones off. She put her hoodie on backwards and now she's stuck. She's like a toddler. Jesus Christ.
All right. Do you want to talk about the Canyon?
Oh shit.
Absolutely. It's Canyon time. Okay.
So the Canyon Lux Trail.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
I have one thought off the top.
Sure.
You know what this is?
I know exactly
what it is. 2018 Trek Fuel EX.
Okay. Yeah. I was kind of thinking more last generation, or hell, is it two generations ago now? God.
It's Dump Jumper?
No. No, must have been. What was the generation Epic? Was it the Epic 7 where they had an Epic Evo where it was actually a different bike for the Evo?
The Epic 7 was lobotomized when Evo, so yes, but no.
So
I mean, this has way more travel.
Not the Evo where they just put a 130 fork on it and it still had a brain. I'm talking about the one that was 115 rear and it was totally a different frame, different bike, and they called it the Epic Evo.
That was the 7.
Okay. I thought that was a great bike. And for most people, that bike was so good. We sold a ton of them. Great feedback on that bike. Great bike.
But predecessor to that bike was the Stumpy ST, which is this is a lot like as well.
I think this is kind of in between a Stump ST maybe, and maybe not in travel numbers, but in burliness and all that kind of stuff. I feel it's in between those two.
But I think if Specialized launched the Stumpy ST today, or a new camber technically, it would be this.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think that's very... Yes, totally agree.
And I think this is what most people need.
This is what most people need.
125.
Like that 36 SL. That 36 SL is so dope. It's got a full-sized 210 by 50 or 210 by 55 maybe. It's got a full-size rear shock. And yeah, it's in line to save some weight, but you want to put a dongle on it? Put a fucking dongle on it. Put a fucking coil on it. I don't care. Do whatever you want. And I think it's light enough. But hopefully, I don't know about rear flex and all that. Haven't ridden one. Definitely looks a little on the skinny side. But moral of the story is this kind of bike is what most people need to be on. Is it an actual like cross-country race bike? Yeah, arguably not. Now, could you do a 6 hour on it, 12 hour, whatever? Absolutely. Could you XC race on it? Yeah, probably. But the fact of the matter is this is the bike that most people need for most trail riding, even out here in Utah. This is what most people need to be on.
You know what's bugging me is in this Bike Rumor article, the like bike that they did, the bike they took pictures of to like cut out and put in their horribly photoshopped or AI photos, the left brake lever is like pointed straight ahead.
Interesting. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. But if in certain angles...
The left one is like horizontal to the ground.
It's got like a chrome paint job kind of thing. I don't know. It looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm. In certain light, it looked very chromey.
I think this is a good looking bike.
I really do. I think it's a great bike. It's got under front direct storage. It's got two water bottle bosses. It's got SWAT storage. I know that's not what it's technically called. It's got a simple suspension design. I don't know. Kind of ticks all the boxes for me. I mean, I don't like Canyon as a company, but I think they, at least on paper, they did a really good job with this bike. And Specialized is completely missing this bicycle right now.
Dude, no Epic Evo, no camber, and the Stump Jumper has like bloated up to be a mini enduro. Like, I am very bummed right now.
A lot of people are bummed, including myself.
No rock hoppers. Like, yeah.
What's the weight? I keep
They're
seeing.
Claiming 27 pounds.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. That's
and another thing that I just didn't even notice until now. Look at that seat tube.
Real straight.
That motherfucker's straight.
Yeah, dude. Straight as an arrow.
That thing is fucking straight. You could put a 300 mil dropper on that bike.
Mm-hmm.
Man, someone did their homework on this one, I think.
You know, I'm going to say something that's not... I think I talked about it the other day, but like, in-frame storage is dumb to me. I
don't disagree with that. We've talked about that a bunch. I could care less about it.
Like, I don't know. It rattles, and it just... I just don't... Like, the more I mess with bikes, the more I just think that you don't need all that little... You don't need a hole in your frame that has a little piece bolted into it, that has another little piece that snaps into it, that your bottle cage clicks to or bolts to, and then you can put stuff in there as long as it fits inside the little sack perfectly and still is flexible enough to make it in the hole. Like, I don't know. It's just...
And you know what? These cables don't go through the goddamn headset bearings.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Either way is fine. I think they didn't do it because it's not proper for this bike. Like, this size of bike is not what needs that. But just quit cutting holes in the down tube. Just leave them there.
I like down tube storage.
That's fine. Oh, I saw your old Mayhem today.
Oh, yeah? How's it doing?
It's still getting ridden like you rode it. It's very used.
I mean, I didn't ride that particular bike that much because I basically had...
I understand that, but it is still being used very well.
That's great. I'm glad. That bike needs to be used. That's a good bike.
And for $5,000, you get a Fox 36 SL, carbon wheels, and mechanical 90 transmission and Motive Bronze.
Jesus.
So not bad.
Jesus Christ. That is not bad at all.
And no customer service.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you give up. You're giving up. You save $1,000, $2,000, and nobody can help you. So just know that going into it. Hopefully they made it good enough where nobody needs to help you. But if they didn't, you're fucked.
All right. We want to do a listener question or two?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. We got one from Mason. Mason says, "Hey, guys, I love listening to the show every Monday. It's a great way to start the week. I have a few FreeHub failures to my name, and I'm starting to think it's me. For context, I'm 5'10", 175 pounds, partake in many techie climbs in the Southeast/Midwest, and ride under 1,000 miles a year on the trail. I've previously sheared off all of the pawls in a DT370 and have recently deformed the aluminum around the pawls on my i9 Hydras to the point of the free hub that the free hub was rubbing on the face of the main hub bearing and making my bike ghost pedal. Both of these failures happened to wheel sets I had for about a year and have been covered under warranty. The warranty process was easy enough, but the hub should be able to handle uphill riding from a very average guy, right? So am I the problem? Am I too fucking strong? Am I choosing weak hubs? Should I stop trying to ride up stuff? Thanks, Mason."
Yeah, you're too fucking strong.
Well, the 370 is not that great about
it. No,
that.
I mean, the Hydra's garbage. The 370 is garbage. So maybe try...
So I think it's like your...
I want you to get a 350 DEG could be an option.
Yep. Here's what you need. $700 retail. Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
It comes with the 350 DEG hub. Lifetime warranty on their aluminum wheels. $700.
Yeah, those things are sick.
Like, those are so cheap. I don't know that at wholesale pricing, it's a $700 wheel set that has $270 worth of rims. And I don't know how much a DEG rear hub costs. It's probably like a $350 to $400 hub. Like, you can't buy the two rims and the rear hub and a couple of nipples for the price of the whole fucking wheel set. So you should buy the shit out of those.
I agree.
Yeah, I think any of the DT, whatever, 350s, 240s, just not the 370. Well, the 370 is now a...
It's now a Star Ratchet hub.
Yeah,
if you'd be okay
with the newest 370s. But yeah, I think you just happen to have some hubs that maybe aren't the best, even though, like, I mean, Hydras are supposed to be really good, but...
There's plenty of other hubs. Like, it's easy to poke fun at i9, but there's plenty of other hubs historically that are really bad. All, like, Bontrager made absolute garbage hubs even until very recently. I don't know about their newest stuff, but I think Andrea blew up a couple of the Bontrager ones.
The ones that I had, the rim, like, for whatever reason, the rims would... I had the carbon wheels and, like, pinch flatted, like,
rim
twice.
Bead was a bad shape, and it would pinch flat the shit out of rims. And then a double down tire just exploded off the rim in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like sitting in the living room.
Yeah. So like those rims weren't that great. And the hubs like popped all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of really bad hubs out there. So don't get too bummed out by that. I think you got a little bit unlucky. I think you should give that Deg series a shot.
Yep.
And if for some reason you don't have a reserve dealer near you, call me. I'll sell you a set.
Oh, like the 1-of-1 i9 hubs have been okay. I mean, again,
I think the 1-of-1s are probably more reliable than the Hydra, but I can't guarantee that.
Yeah. On paper, they look like they would be more reliable.
I've got a guy at the shop that's been riding 1-of-1s, and he's got like a gajillion miles on them, and they're fine. Like the bearings don't need to be touched yet. They're so good.
Yeah. So if you want to stick with the high engagement, 1-of-1 hubs, I mean, they're not Hydra high engagement, but like they're still pretty fucking up there.
They're like 90 points.
Yeah, like they're really good. So, you know, maybe try some of those if you want to stick with the high engagement stuff. Like I can, you know, if you're into that, like I totally understand because I am a high engagement whore.
Or call up I9 and tell them to bring the torch back out and then do what all the cool kids did, which was take 3 of the Pauls out, and then it worked even better.
Run all 6 of them.
Yeah, I ran all 6 of them, and they were good. And we had a good question on Patreon Slack. I'm looking for a single speed chain for my commensal hardtail. What chain does the Hive Mind recommend? I was looking at the SRAM PC870
Eagle
6-7-8 speed
Eagle chains.
Yeah,
I've put Eagle chains on like old 7-speed Shimano stuff. When they have really long chain stays, and it works and shifts awesome. It makes no sense.
And like people suggested, you know, like there was some talk about, do you need a narrow wide chain ring? Not really, but like they're just so, you can just get them everywhere.
You're just going to have you're going to have to make sure that your Eagle chain will mesh with your specific single speed cog. There are some single speed rear cogs that are just wide enough that they don't mesh with modern high speed chains.
Yeah, he was looking at, he actually said these are the single speed parts I was looking at, and sent a link to a wolf tooth cog. Like, yeah, the Eagle chain will go fine on that. But a single speed chain, so if you looked at like a track chain, like a 1/8 chain, actually doesn't really work on a lot of the newer stuff, does it? Like it won't.
Well, there are some 3/32 labeled cogs that an 8 and 9 speed shiftable chain, like the old go-to SRAM chains that we all used to run single speed, those work fine on those 3/32. But some of the, I think, 10 and 11 speed chains of the day would not mesh on that 3/32 cog. So like one of those Surly Stainless, for example, the Niner cog comes to mind. I think there were a couple other ones, and they were just, that cog was just wide enough that it wouldn't work. But maybe the Eagle's different. I don't know. I haven't single speeded in the Eagle days, so I'm not sure, but just be a little careful of that. But I agree with Matt. I think the most modern chain you can get is going to be the best. And if you can, they don't make XO anymore, but if you get an S500 chain, it will last a lot longer. And I think
that's a good thing. Counterintuitive, but according to someone at SRAM who knows shit, he said that the strongest chains are the newest ones. So it seems counterintuitive because, yes, like the PC 850, 870, like those, yeah, they're bigger, they're heavier, all that doesn't necessarily mean that they are stronger. So yeah, just go for an, I think the Eagle chain is great.
Or I would say whatever chain your geared bike uses.
Yeah, just do that.
And if your geared bike uses a 12-speed Shimano chain, run that one. Just put a new chain on your geared bike and put the used chain on your single speed, and then all your fucking quick links and all your shit always works. And yep. Then you want to change the gear on your single speed, you know what you do? You put a new chain on your geared bike, and you put the old chain on your single speed, and you keep the drivetrain on your geared bike super fucking mint, because you're always putting a new chain on it, like every few hundred miles, and it just keeps it so happy.
And just make sure you dial in your chain line.
Yep. If you don't measure your chain line, your shit's going to suck.
No matter what chain you have. All right. Well, that's it. Are we ready to read some patrons and wrap it up?
Ready.
That's your job.
All right. So our patrons at $10 a month or more, we got John, Kurt, Jim the fucked up trike guy, Burt Reynolds Krusty Stash, Zozo, Eric, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Taperbore Pro, My Pal Dal, MTB Shenanigans, Ray C,
Mike Jones,
Cam Irish One, Tennessee Zach, Green Giant, AJ, Leland, Why Are People Still Using My Fucking Name in Patreon? I'm a Different Person Now. JC, Gordon, Josh, Fart Noises, Liz Lemon, Ryan, Bill, Aaron, The Clam Trap In Frame Storage Device, Ty, Noah, Cool Beans.
Ooh, she nasty.
No, my name is Clayton. Frank the Tank, Goat Roper, Redacted, Full Face Kenny Loggins, Flying Into the Danger Zone on an Amazon e-bike at $11.11 per month. What is the difference between a garbanzo bean and a chickpea? Patamillion Disco Ball at $14 Australian and at $20 a month. Matt and Andrea's Questionable Relations, Scott, Joe, I Want a Mustache Ride from Burt Reynolds, Poop Wrench, Harley at 30, Andrea Knows About Shit at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, Purveyors of Top Shelf Shenanigans and Cycling Events at Fitty.
Fitty, okay. Well, I just took off my socks, and I've decided that I'm going to go shower. Bye.
All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening, and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your brake pads.